I'd like now to welcome to the program Brian Bird from Wild Earth Guardians and Carol Johnson. She's a resident of La Cueva in Glorieta. And we're here to talk about the Forest Service's environmental impact statement for travel management on the Santa Fe National Forest. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Thank you very much.
I read about this in the paper briefly. There has been a lot of discussion about where and how trails should be used for what purposes. So there are people who hike, who walk, who ride horses, who ride dirt bikes, who ride bicycles, who use all-terrain vehicles. And some of those activities are incompatible with each other, and some of them are compatible with each other. And this final ruling basically gave a lot of trails that were allowed to be used for motorized vehicles.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, we're blessed in Santa Fe and northern New Mexico to have a preponderance of public lands that are pristine for the most part, and that's where a lot of people, our citizens, go to camp and to go with their children to get away from everyday pollution and noise of our cities, and it's just a blessing to have that. And now to see the Forest Service, for the most part, turn that over to these motorized users just doesn't make any sense.
Well, how much of it was turned over to motor vehicles and how much was kept for non-motorized use?
Well, originally the Forest Service said that they had about 5,000 miles of roads, then trails that were, well, roads that were used for motorized activities. We think it's a lot higher than that, but that's their original universe they used. They've actually brought that down in their selected alternative to about 2,250 miles of roads for motorized use and about 200 miles of trails for motorized users, for motorcycles and ATVs. The other thing that they have done, which we want to obviously compliment them on, is they've closed the forest to cross-country motorized travel. So you can no longer just drive anywhere you want on our national forests. And all of this came from a rule that was signed by the director of the Forest Service under President Bush in 2005. That rule directed every forest in the nation to get a handle on motorized recreation because it is having a severe negative impact on our water and our wildlife and all of our recreational experiences.
And the head of the Forest Service at the time indicated that cross-country travel and off-road travel was one of the four biggest threats to the health of the forest.
Now, why is that?
Well, it damages the watershed. It fragments wildlife areas. The wildlife, if their areas are fragmented, they become inbred.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're unhealthy. And they create routes because they go cross-country. And there's great erosion.
Yeah. They also spread invasive weeds. So
how's that?
Well, the weeds attach themselves, their seeds, to the tires of these bikes and vehicles, and they're one of the greatest causes of the spread of invasive noxious weeds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But they're not attached to our shoes
or
horses'
hooves?
They are, of course.
Yeah. But typically motorized vehicles travel greater distances than we do. They also, before, they were cross-country traveling, going across the landscape and spreading these seeds into places that were uninfested. So that was one of the main reasons they wanted to get this under control.
And they drive across creeks and up the sides of hills. So, and because they have knobby tires with a continuous tread, it attracts water. So water runs downhill and creates great erosion.
So they are not required to stay on the trails?
They were not prior to this rule.
Right.
So this rule has restricted cross-country travel, which is a good thing. We're happy about that, obviously. And it has, you know.
So cross-country means not being on the trails.
Right, getting off trails.
Okay.
You are no longer allowed on a motorized vehicle to go off the trail.
But there is no enforcement.
One of our biggest concerns is that they don't have the budget, the Forest Service doesn't have the budget to enforce this plan, nor to maintain the roads and trails they already have out there. So what happens is you end up with, you know, these trails deteriorating, more motorcycles ride on them, more off-highway vehicles, and they just continue to deteriorate because they don't have a budget to fix them.
Now, you, Carol, live in Glorieta, and you have long been in conversations with the Forest Service.
For the past 6 years, our community, which has about 60 property owners, we have been in communication with the Forest Service, and the Forest Service led us to believe that they were listening to our comments and actually made a lot of changes, so that all the maps that they gave us over the last 5 years showed that there would be no ATVs and dirt bikes in our area, which is a very quiet community. I mean, we all lived there and bought our houses there because we love the forest, we love the stream there, we love wildlife, and we love the quiet and peace.
And so what happened?
We were totally shocked when this plan was announced, because we had been told, even verbally in meetings, that there would be no ATVs and dirt bikes on our road. But the Forest Service turned that around and, in a sense, did a bait and switch, because at the very last minute, when we were surprised to see that they had not only allowed ATVs and dirt bikes on our area and in all of the fragile areas, but they had removed the winter wildlife closure.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. So do you now have ATVs and dirt bikes going in front of your house all the time? I mean, what's...
No, my house is set back almost half a mile from the road.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you can hear the noise going up and down the road. It's not all the time, but it is more, and it's increasing all the time.
People who... I've never ridden an ATV or dirt bike, but people who have them love them. And I've seen them in the dog park where they're not supposed to be, and somebody put a stop to that pretty quickly, but they really enjoy them. What is... And they're not going anywhere. I mean, people are going to ride these vehicles, and they're going to enjoy riding these vehicles, and, you know, there we have it. Where should these vehicles be? I mean, where should people be riding them, in your view, Brian Bird?
Well, let's start by obviously recognizing that they are a lot of fun, and thrill seekers enjoy them.
And there's a lot of thrill seekers.
There are a lot of thrill seekers. but let's also recognize that their impact is completely disproportional to their use, especially on the national forest system. The Santa Fe has done visitor use surveys and have found that people going out there solely to go on their motorcycle or their ATV is a tiny fraction of all the use on the forest. In fact, it's not even 1%. It's less than 1%. It's almost immeasurable. The people that go out there uniquely to ride these vehicles. So it's a tiny portion of all activities. The activities like hiking, walking, viewing nature, viewing wildlife, driving for pleasure, are all much, much higher uses of the forest. So we have to recognize that giving them basically complete use of our national forest outside of wilderness areas doesn't make any sense compared to how many there are and how many people use them exclusively. So we think that, considering how small a portion of users they are, they should be relegated to a very small portion of the national forest, if any at all. I mean, maybe they should have a small area that they're allowed. Ideally, you know, private lands would provide that option, or maybe state or other types of lands. But these national forests are so valuable for producing water, for producing wildlife, hunting and fishing opportunities, and for producing, you know, basically quiet relaxation activities for families. You know, there's just no excuse to let these vehicles run.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if I were up there to go hiking and one of these things went by, I wouldn't go there again. I'd go try to go someplace else. And so basically, one person ruins it for the other 99, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And the forest, you know, doesn't seem to recognize that problem. They've tried to say that, basically, if you're not a motorized user, you need to go find places where they aren't.
They actually say that in their record of decision.
Right.
But I mean, how much of the forest is closed now to motorized vehicles?
Essentially none, outside of wilderness areas.
And how much of the forest is wilderness areas?
A small portion. I mean, it's a big forest. You know, it's over 1 million acres, and the wilderness is a tiny portion of that. And the wilderness is rugged. It's typically high elevation. It's not suitable for riding motorized vehicles anyways, but that's the only place They're complete. Well,
they go in there.
They have trespassed, and we have evidence that the motorcycles have trespassed up into the Pecos Wilderness, which is sad. And they've also trespassed into the Santa Fe watershed from the top of Cañada de los Alamos.
Right.
And so, you know, there's this theory that there's a few bad apples out there with these vehicles, but the studies that have been done actually demonstrate that a lot of these users don't abide by the rules, don't follow the rules. They like to ride away from trails. They seem to like to break rules. If you look at purely at statistical,
seekers.
They're thrill seekers. They don't want to, you know, stay on the roads where they probably ought to be restricted.
You asked where can they go? I mean, there are lots of places. There are tons of roads that the Forest Service has given them in the Jemez. Far too many. It's far too large. But there are places, and there are some big expanses, private lands up on some of the other mesas, not mm-hmm. Glorieta Mesa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we ought to talk about Glorieta Mesa while we're on that. Glorieta Mesa is a spectacular mesa southeast of the city of Santa Fe, out by Pecos and Glorieta. And they had the same experience as Carol did in La Cueva, where there's a lot of traditional uses on that mesa, a lot of ranching, families that go back many generations that have been grazing on the mesa for many, many generations. And they all were opposed to the area being a playground for motorized users and motorcycles. And more we're seeing motorcycles going up in that area. And they had the same agreement with the Forest Service. In the last proposed action we saw, they were not going to have any motorcycles or other off-highway vehicles used up there. It was the same situation as Carol had. And then in the final decision, they flipped it completely. And now the entire area is open to all vehicles of any type all year round.
And so how are the people in Glorieta Mesa responding?
The same as Carol. They're extremely upset. They're very much hoping that they can negotiate back to the original position coming up here. And there's actually a really nice testimonial online from the ranchers up there. It's called nmdocumentary.com. It's a 15-minute short documentary of traditional ranchers on the mesa, and they're explaining why they believe these thrill seekers are ruining their lifestyle up there and their traditional way of life. And in fact, one of the ways they do it is they like to ride their motorcycles through their the rancher's stock tanks where they impound
where
water.
Where they keep water
for the cows. And they've had many, many situations up there where they've had run-ins with these off-roaders. And so the ranchers are upset. Residents are upset. We're upset at the resource impacts at Guardians. And so we hope the Foresters is going to listen to us and really go back and look at this more carefully.
So what is the actual procedure?
Well, at this point, we are in basically what's called kind of a legal administrative stance. The opportunity for public comment is over. They did that for 6 years, basically. Now we have a final decision. And people that commented early on in the process, which, of course, Carol and the residents and the ranchers and Guardians and other environmental groups did comment, now have an opportunity to file what's called an administrative appeal. So we will file an administrative appeal, and then at that point, we will be forced into a negotiation with the Forest Service by law, where we can sit down with them and try to work out a compromise, which we hope they'll do. Maria Garcia is the forest supervisor who signed this decision, and she can still be influenced, although it's not official. We hope people will call her and get in touch with her. The way to do that is to go to a website called GlorietaMesa.org. So that's GlorietaMesa.org. On that website, everything is explained, and all of the contact information is there for Maria Garcia at the Forest Service. We hope people will call her and email her and ask her to reconsider her decision.
Now, I mean, forgive me, but I remember when this came out, and I was just looking at the web pages about this. I thought that it was actually a good decision for people who wanted to hike and horseback ride and things like that because, I think the number that I read was 70% or two-thirds or something like that of the existing trails were put off limits to motorized vehicles. And indeed, the Motorized Vehicle User Associations are upset about it, and they want to appeal it just in the same way that you want to appeal it. So it's hard to understand what's going on.
Well, it's absolutely true. They have reduced the total system of roads by about 57%. But you have to understand how many routes and trails were out there prior to this. The entire forest was basically a spaghetti, plate of spaghetti with roads all over it, from old logging projects, from old mining projects, from user-created roads that weren't supposed to be there. The entire forest was completely covered in routes. And even though they have dropped it by, yes, 57%, that still leaves 43% of these roads open to the motorized users, and it is still a huge portion of the forest. Out, as I said earlier, outside of wilderness, it is hard to find a place on the Santa Fe National Forest that doesn't have some kind of motorized road or trail.
And if I could add, the noise of a dirt bike, for instance, travels up to 2 miles.
Now, what are the, I mean, you've talked about this a little bit, but in terms of Brian Bird, Wild Earth Guardians studies this kind of thing, what are the problems that you have already seen in terms of wildlife, habitat, forest health, and so on, that are directly caused by motorized vehicles?
Right. Well, probably the most directly affected are species like the Jemez Mountain Salamander, which is a very rare type of salamander that lives mostly underground and is directly trampled by their habitat gets compacted by motorcycles, and they can't use that habitat anymore. There's tons of these motorcycle trails over in their most beneficial habitat in the Jemez. Trout is another big species that needs clean, cold water. And with these motorcycles riding across the streams and going up the streams, in some cases they like to ride in the water. It's kind of, as we said earlier, that's part of the thrill.
Yeah, it must be fun.
Yeah, and that has direct impacts on the cutthroat trout habitat, which is a very important species for the economy around here, for people that like to go fishing. I mean, fishing is a huge use of our national forests. Over in the Jemez, we've documented where the motorcycles have been riding up these trails in very erosive soils. You get sometimes 2 feet of erosion. The bottom of the trail is 2 feet below ground level, where these motorcycles are driving up here.
So you
can't
even hike.
You can't hike in them anymore. They spin their wheels because they're trying to climb, up the hill. That dirt ends up in our rivers. That dirt ends up in our streams. It kills our fish. And it affects our clean water downstream. So those are the big impacts. And then, of course, there's elk.
When they're hunting.
Yeah, I was going to say
really,
elk and deer.
Yeah, they drive the elk away so that the hunting is down in some of those areas.
Mm-hmm. There's well-established research that show that elk avoid a certain density of roads, basically, when you get above about a mile per square mile of routes. And unfortunately, the forest is no longer going to have anywhere that is below that density of roads and trails. And so elk are going to not be as reproduce as well. We're not going to have as good of elk populations for hunting. It just really has a pretty serious impact on our wildlife and our water.
Brian Bird is with Wild Earth Guardians. Carol Johnson is a resident of La Cueva in Glorieta. We've been talking about the Forest Service Environmental Impact Statement for Travel Management in the Santa Fe National Forest. If people want more information, they can go to wildearthguardians.org. Is that correct?
Of course, yep. Always wildearthguardians.org. And we also have a local website called GlorietaMesa.org, which has all the specific information on this situation and how to contact officials.
I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.